Thanks for downloading another Lions Roar podcast. This week, highlights from a busy Easter weekend for the Lions as they battle the drop. But we'll start this week with the Guiseley Vixens, who are just 1 point away from promotion from the WSL Northern Division 1 after a 3-1 win away at Chester Street. That saw them stand on the brink of an immediate return to the WSL Northern Premier, just one step away from the WSL 2. Goals from Sarah Danby, Debs Hastings and Emily Scott wrapped up all 3 points in a comfortable win. Guiseley started off brightly and it wasn't long before the first goal came. Chantal O'Hara tried her luck from outside the box, her effort rebounding off the post to Danby, who put it home past the keeper, who was left merely a spectator. Just after the half-hour mark, the Vixens doubled their lead. A corner was whipped in by O'Hara, bouncing off Hastings, cut inside and curled the ball into the top corner of the goal. The second half started brightly with frequent chances created, the pick of the bunch coming from Hastings, who teed herself up before hitting the ball on the volley just wide. A third goal was added just after the hour mark, Lauren Griffiths playing a ball down the wing for Josie Hewson to run onto. She cut inside her marker and sprayed the ball into the box, where Emily Scott rose high to head it over the goalkeeper. Chester Street managed to pull one back shortly after, with Nicole Havery turning her opponent and bending the ball into the net. Late on, Thackeray narrowly missed out on adding a fourth. Her effort rattled the crossbar and bounced down the line. It ended 3-1, and Guiseley will look to secure their title next week at Blackpool Wren Rovers. After the match, Vixens correspondent Oliver Coulthas caught up with Glenn and Kyle, as well as goalscorer Emily Scott.
So after a comfortable performance, you're now just needing 1 point to win it.
Yeah, we're absolutely delighted with today's performance. I think it's one of our best performances of the season. The first half was just absolutely superb. It's a great way to bounce back from the midweek defeat. To be fair, I think Chester have actually given us a tougher game than Bradford did midweek. So today we've been absolutely stepped up and we were superb.
In the second half, it was more defensive, but did you stick to the plan?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Chester Street, they've had, what, 6 clean sheets since turn of year, so coming up here, it's never easy. So once you've got the 2-0 lead and, you don't need more goals, you've got to see the result out. You know, 3 points is the most important thing. It'd be nice to get a clean sheet ourselves, but, you know, it is job done. We've stuck to plan, we've done what's needed to be done.
And what's the attitude like in the camp?
I think everyone's absolutely buzzing at the moment. They recognise we're not over the finishing line just yet, but I think with 4 games to go, we're nearly there and everyone can see it. And so there's a real positive vibe around everything at the moment. We're obviously, again, disappointed we didn't win midweek, but focusing back on the league, we're in good spirits, definitely. And I just hopefully now we can seal the deal next week.
You needed 1 point to secure the league, and after that performance, there's no reason why you can't do it.
No, I think we're all confident. I think we know we've got to get back into training this week. We wanted to win today after a loss midweek, and I think we know what we need next week, so we're all just looking forward to it, I think.
Your goal could go down as one of the goals of the season.
I think in Chris's mind, yeah, I think everyone enjoys a header. I have to admit it's only the second one I've ever scored, so I was pretty pleased with it. And yeah, hopefully it'll stand up there as being one of the best goals, so yeah.
And if you want to see the goals from that game, plus previous goals from the Vixens season, search for Guiseley Vixens on Facebook, where you'll find highlights. The Vixens will clinch promotion with a point in their next game this Sunday as they travel to Blackpool Wren Rovers in a 2 p.m. kickoff. They'll return, hopefully as champions, to Nethermoor the following week to play Liverpool Feds, and then their final 2 home games are to be played at Bradford Academy's 3G pitch. With any luck, the Vixens will have something to celebrate. Of course, if you can't make it to Blackpool on Sunday, the managerial nous of Bradford City forward Billy Clark and former Leeds United and Sheffield United forward Brian Dean are to be pitted against each other in the inaugural Rob Butt Memorial Trophy charity match being held at Nethermoor this Sunday, 23rd of April. Billy Clark will manage the Guiseley veterans, whilst Brian Dean is to manage a team representing black solicitors. The Guiseley Vets is a team consisting of mainly coaches from Guiseley Juniors, whilst black solicitors will be a main sponsor of Guiseley AFC and Guiseley Vixens. The gates will open at 11:30 a.m. with a juniors trophy match between Guiseley Juniors under 13s and Menston Juniors under 13s. That's kicking off at 12, and it'll be followed by the Vets versus Blacks solicitors at 1 p.m. Admission is just £1 per adult. Under 18s go free, and all money raised is a split between Marie Curie and Guiseley Community Foundation. Between 11:45 and 1 p.m. there'll be an under-11 skills competition with the opportunity to be a mascot at a GAFC home game next season as the first prize. All entrants receive a free ticket for an adult and junior to attend the last game of the season against Solihull Moors. There's teas, coffees and a raffle, all available with the bar open at 1 p.m. And so to the men's team, who had a tough Easter weekend, starting with a trip to fellow strugglers Braintree on Good Friday. Commentary here from Tom Feeney and Chris Bell.
But now Guiseley trying to work it well, and here comes Hatfield. Hatfield gets the shot off, but he rushed his effort and has pulled it a couple of yards wide of the left-hand post. He just needed a little bit more composure there. He was put under pressure, but you'd expect him to at least do better with that. At least test the goalkeeper from there. Now Kevin Hurst battling hard. Rasilovsky in there as well. Hatfield slides it through to Adam Boyes. Boyes with the opportunity. Boyes finds the side netting. The opportunity came for Adam Boyes there, though. He did well.
I'm going to be honest, I thought that had gone in.
It's now cleared by the Braintree keeper. Michael Cheek turns Jake Lawler, then gets the ball ahead of Palmer. And the ball isn't cleared away from danger as a challenge comes in on Johnny Matstead from a Braintree man. And the referee is having a word with Johnny Matstead. And he's giving a corner.
Well, Maxted's fouled there.
Your guess is as good as mine, mate, because to me, that looked like Johnny Maxted was the man that was being fouled.
Johnny Maxted's tried to get the ball, and he's been taken out by a player while he's trying to get it. And I panicked there, thinking for a second he was going to give a penalty away, because Maxted didn't look happy immediately.
Well, the corner comes in from Braintree. It's a high one up towards the back post, just tipped away by Johnny Maxted, who then collects it at the second attempt. As Kevin Hurst does well, tries to get around the fullback Akimo. The ball does come back as far as Boyes. Boyes looks to lay it off into the path of Veselovsky. That possibly wasn't the right call, as Preston seemed to be in a bit more space and the opportunity, and had the space, sorry, to get an opportunity to shoot. But Guiseley still putting the pressure on here as Hurst drives, and it goes across the face of goal and wide. So the corner comes in low towards the near post, and it's scrambled in. Braintree have scored. Braintree have taken the lead on 55 minutes. The ball from the corner was played in low towards the near post. Suddenly a mid-drift high, and the header came in through a crowd of players, and Braintree have taken the lead in this game. It's Braintree Town 1, Guiseley 0. Just under the hour gone, as a great ball comes out to Clahessy on this right-hand side. Wonderful ball out to him. Clahessy being put under some pressure by Jordan Preston, plays it back inside to Shea Isaac. Isaac up towards the back stick, looking to find Jack Midson. Lawler will clear it away, but it's a terrible clearance, and the effort comes in from a Braintree man. Takes a knock off Will Hatfield into Jake Lawler. That goes into the path of number 11, Craig Brown Barrett, who fires hopelessly high over the top of the crossbar. No sign of that calmness needed in the Guiseley defence at the moment, though. Lawler looked to have committed a foul there on Michael Cheek. He got away with the first one. Walton concedes a free kick, which the referee awards in Braintree's favour. Perhaps slightly persuaded by the shouts that the first one wasn't given for what looked like a clear foul committed by Jake Lawler on Michael Cheek. With the free kick, he's here for Braintree. Midway inside the Guiseley half, slightly to the left of the central channel. Michael Cheek will be the man to deliver this cross. It's a decent right-footed ball up towards the back post where Manny Parry was there, and it's in. It's been volleyed home. Braintree have gone 2-0 up in this crucial, crucial game. What a massive goal that could be. Braintree 2, Guiseley 0.
After that disappointment, the Lions needed to raise themselves, and quickly, as promotion-chasing Tranmere came to town. Commentary from Chris and Colin Robertson.
Now, McNulty and Rankin have just collided together. That's some collision.
Yeah, they've just Rankin's gone down rather easily, actually, but a free kick's been given to Geisey, and it's about 5 yards up from the edge of the D here as he lines this one up. Rankin looks like he might hit this one. Hurst rolls it off to him. Rankin strikes it, takes a deflection, bounces away, and onto the edge of the 18-yard box. Brown sends it long up towards Rankin. Rankin wins the header down towards Hurst. Hurst's first touch, just difficult for him to control, but he does. Veselovsky from distance takes a shot. The goalkeeper dives. It's just past the upright and behind for a goal kick. Jennings returns the ball. Riedel gets the cross in. It takes a deflection off a Geisey man still in the box, and Geisey can't get it clear. And it's blasted in towards a goal by Jennings. Saved by Maxted. And the Lions managed to repel that effort. Tranmere have grown more and more into this game, and Geisey have been pressed more and more back. But they're on the front foot here now, the Lions. Hatfield to the right-hand side. Hurst on the edge of the 18-yard box, trying to get an angle for a cross. He does. Rankin gets it with his header. He was stretching. He was coming down as he made the connection. But it was a good piece of movement there from the Lions. The cross in from Hurst. Rankin stretching, but his header over and behind for a goal kick. But it's a corner to Tranmere. Corner on this left-hand side. Tranmere with plenty of green shirts inside the 18-yard box. It's whipped in towards Cook. It's headed off the line. Cook's firm header headed off the line there by Connor Brown. Now plays a nice 1-2 here with Hatfield. Hatfield down the right-hand side looking to cut infield. Manages to win Geisey a corner now. Hey, that's the Lions' first one, isn't it, of this game?
Yeah, I think you're right. 32 minutes in. First corner for Geisey. Good work from Will Hatfield down that right-hand side again. Linking up with Connor Brown.
Ball forward now. McNulty and Rankin can't win that battle, but Asamoah can! Oh, Asamoah! What a stunning shot from Derek Asamoah from the edge of the 18-yard box. He's blasted it into the back of the net. The Lions have the lead here at Nethermore. It's Geisey 1, Tranmere 0.
Wonderful strike from Derek Asamoah. What a way to get your first goal for the club. A wonderful, wonderful effort, right-footed, from a good 20, 25 yards out. Superb goal, 1-0 Geisey.
Geisey, as the half-time whistle goes, have pulled off the improbable in the first 45. And with a stunning strike, a truly spectacular goal from Derek Asamoah on 34 minutes, have the noses in front. Yeah, well, the Tranmere players are out early as well, aren't they? They've returned to the field before Geisey are back out, obviously to send a message out that they are ready for business.
Yeah, the Lions under real pressure, 5 minutes into this second half, and Tranmere have started exactly as we expected them to.
Ball played in towards the 6-yard box, headed home. James Norwood from the corner found 2 yards of space inside the 6-yard box and equalises for Tranmere Rovers. It's Geisey 1, Tranmere Rovers 1.
Yeah, free header. Nobody picked him up at the back post. Disappointing goal to concede. Set pieces again. The Lions' downfall defensively.
Geisey still under immense pressure here. Lawler puts a foot through the ball, but there's no outlet. It's to Ihekwe, who can play it forward again. Into the area, it's a beautiful ball, and it's taken down and forced home. And Tranmere get a second with Andy Cook. But what a ball it was, to be said, from Michael Ihekwe to pick out Cook, who powered the ball home at the second attempt after a ricochet off the goalkeeper. And from being a goal to the good, I'm afraid it's bad news for Geisey. It's now Geisey 1, Tranmere 2. Now it's another long ball forward here, and Norwood times his run ever so well, gets into the box, takes a drive from an awkward angle and pulls it wide. Free kick now as we wait for it to finally be taken. Referee lines things up. Rankin strikes it, takes a deflection, goes wide. It'll be a corner to Geisey. Took the ricochet that you kind of hoped it would, but it was unfortunately sufficiently effective in defending the ball from going towards goal. Counter-attack is potentially building up now for Tranmere because it's fallen kindly for Norwood. He plays it through here, and it's picked up now by Stockton, whose shot is blocked by Palmer with a lunging challenge, but the ball's back in there and spins towards a goal before Maxted palms it over. So we have, well, just a couple of minutes to go, really. Looking at something spectacular, aren't we, if we're going to turn this one round. Geisey trailing by 2-1, really giving it our best in this match, but two moments of quality, a spell of 15 minutes or so from Tranmere Rovers that was irresistible. Hurst now on the ball, trying to get past Wallace. Can't do so. Picked up by Perver. Perver out to Preston on the left-hand side. Again, it's all back to goal, though, stuff from Geisey. Preston does well. Plays it in here to Walton. Walton finds Rankin. 25 yards from goal. Rankin plays it out to the right-hand side. Finds Hatfield. Hatfield can't take it down in the air. Mid-flight, but Hatfield sticks at his task. Tries
that
to get it in.
To be handball.
And it looked like a big shout for hands in the air against Rydolge. But the referee doesn't take it. There was a big shout from Hatfield. I'll be honest, I couldn't see one way or the other, to be fair. Maxted sends it long. Headed away. And the referee blows the whistle. And that caps off what's been a spirited Geisey performance. Take nothing away from the Lions, but they've been undone by a very, very good Tranmere Rovers side. And after Derek Asamoah had scored a stunning goal in the first half to give the Lions a lead, it was 2 in 6 minutes from the visitors. James Norwood inside the six-yard box nodding home. Andy Cook getting the fortune from a ricochet, but managing to show persistence to get the second. And try as the Lions might, just couldn't do enough really to test the Tranmere keeper. And a very, very tough afternoon for Geisley, as results elsewhere don't look too favourable. We'll find out more about those, but at full time here, it's finished. Geisley 1, Tranmere Rovers 2.
After the game, Colin caught up with Adam and Tom collared Simon Walton.
Adam's spirited performance today, it must be quite disheartening to come away with no points this evening.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you know, anybody that would hear, I said it the other week, but, you know, the desire and the commitment were outstanding. Very, very disappointed in, you know, the period that we conceded the goals. We have to be better when we get put under pressure, because certainly a team like Tranmere are going to put you under pressure, especially when you're leading 1-0. You have to deal with that a little bit better than we did. Really disappointed with that. You know, we have to look at things and be able to cope with that in future. And you know, everybody who'll be involved in trying to be part of that to deal with whenever we get that sort of pressure in the future and deal with it in a better manner.
And after the first 45, in which game plan was almost perfect, wasn't it, to soak up some of the pressure that Tranmere gave, but also to grab the goal, and it was a stunning goal as well from Derek Asamoah.
Yeah, you know, he always, you know, we've got a squad and we changed things today, looking at the best way we felt it'd suit us, and like I say, it worked. Just for me, in my mind, it's a period of, I don't know, I can't say madness, but in period of a way, you know, you just got to clear your mind and keep defending, even if you do concede. Like I said, we'll work on that and look at how we can improve that. But overall, you know, I thought it a great performance in terms of a team. Yeah, we got beat. Be interesting to see the handball. I don't know, I can't really comment on it. Be interesting. I know a lot of the boys feel very strongly about it, but you have to look past that sometimes, and you know, nobody's going to help you. We if anybody knows, we know that nobody's going to help us, so you have to help yourselves, and we'll do our utmost to do so.
You certainly gambled in the second half in terms of the changes. You went looking for the point. Jordan Preston came on for Marcus Williams, for example. Must have just been frustrated that we just couldn't quite get over the final hurdle in that final period there, despite the pressure that we applied.
Yeah, you're up against a good team. Everybody know that before we came here. And, you know, I thought our performance made it tough for them today. And you know, another day things might have gone for us a bit better, but we have to keep going and keep believing in what we're about and keep striving for improvement.
And this is pretty important next fortnight then for guys. It starts on Saturday on a trip to Bromley, who themselves have lost today, and that's the next big focus, I guess, is it?
Every game's a focus for us. I've said it all along, you know. We have to prepared right for every game, and approach every game as if, you know, it's our last. And most of the time we have done this year, and the results have backed that. We knew we were up against a difficult run of games. Fortunately, at the minute, we've come in the tail end of results that not going our way. We have to change that, and we, you know, like I say, we have two games to do it, and we won't be approaching the games any differently to what we have all the other times when we've taken points. So, like I say, we'll do our utmost to prepare and be right for every game, and it gives yourself a chance to get points.
And, you know, reflect on that, because, you know, it's in our hands, isn't it? Two games to go, we can make sure that we're out of this. That's a heck of a different situation to where we were when we were facing the bad run results we had in September, October time last year.
Yeah, we always knew it wasn't going to be easy, and I've been saying it for the past couple of weeks. You know, I felt an aura about the place that people, thought that we might have eased away a little bit, and I always knew that we were, and I've backed it up with my comments, and nothing's changed for us all along. And I hope other people it hasn't changed for them either, because with us as a group, in the changing room there, that since day one, we've had that focus, and we have to maintain that focus and keep that focus, whether results go for you or not. And we'll certainly continue to do so, and like I said, we'll be prepared as best we can, and try and look after each other as best we can to give ourselves the best chance of achieving points.
Tom Feeney with Simon Walton after Guiseley lose 2-1 against Tranmere Rovers. Simon, so frustrating for the side. A really good first half, a goal up, and then second half just two quick goals conceded, and it just left us a bit.
Yeah, it was a 15-minute period that's cost us the game. I'm not one to make excuses or come out with the same things, but I think apart from that 15 minutes, we were the better team. I think we showed heart and desire maybe that wasn't there on Friday, but I think them 15 minutes are a lesson for us to learn. Two games left now to put it right, but like you say, you can't give good teams like that a 15-minute foothold. We say the same things at half-time and went out, and then you're climbing a mountain again. But it's hard to say, because at the end of the day, we didn't get no points. But I think if we perform and show that attitude for the next two games, we'll be all right.
When you look at that first half, it was so encouraging, wasn't it? Derek Asamoah as well with a fantastic strike.
Yeah, I mean we deserved it. We deserved as lead, and it makes it a bit hard to take, obviously, when you come out and the sloppy 15 minutes has cost us the game. Like I said, after that, the rest of even the second half, I mean, you could hear the panic. They were screaming and shouting between themselves, and we just couldn't get over that line. But again, it's something that's happened a bit too much to us this year, and we are where we are. But a 15-minute period, maybe not even that, maybe 10 minutes start the second half's cost us.
I suppose the big positive for Guiseley is we're still out the relegation places. It's still in our hands.
Yeah, I mean, we've done ever so well to get ourselves in this position. We don't want no pats on the back or anything yet, but for it to be in our hands is a plus, but you've got to make it a plus. It's no point keep saying that it's in our hands if you don't go out and get the points that you need. So we've got two games now, and like I say, if we show the application and desire and a little bit of quality maybe that was missing in the final third today and add to that, then I think we'll be all right. But we've got to learn, and we've got to pick up those points.
So the Lions will travel to Bromley on Saturday 22nd of April, knowing that 3 points will keep the relegation battle in their own hands, their own fate in their own hands. It looks very much like somebody's going down with 50 points, and the Lions are still in pole position to avoid the drop, but it's all up to them now. Guiseley Radio will be providing full match coverage. If you can't make that trip down south, mixlr.com/Guiseley Radio, or you can join us at guiseleyafc.co.uk and just click on the player there. If you do join us via the mixlr.com website, you can join us on the chat room there, send us your thoughts, opinions and abuse. Believe us, we're big enough to take it, or you can tweet us at Guiseley Radio anytime you like. And that'll just about wrap it up for the penultimate Lions Roar of the season. We'll be back with a preview next week of that, what looks like to be a vital home game against Solihull Moors. Adam Lockwood's first game in charge of Guiseley was against Bromley. It didn't end well that day, so revenge is on the cards for Lockie and his boys. Come and cheer them on if you can, or join us at Guiseley Radio for the commentary, and we will definitely see you for the last game of the season against Solihull Moors. Thanks for downloading again. I've been David Kendra, and we'll see you again.